Oh, and welcome to Rockstar Podcast, episode 28. Hi, everybody.
Rude.
Hi, Lorenzo.
Mariano was talking about his life, but we don't really care because we're at work right now. Hi, Mariano.
What's up, my man?
What? That's a new one. You looking at the phallic symbol on the table?
Yes. No, I was checking your pattern, actually.
I got to tell you, speaking of this microphone.
Do you like staring at this big phallic piece on the table?
Whoa, easy.
We have the blue... I can't remember.
Snow blue? Blue snowball? This blue mic. Blue mic? Snowball?
Blue mic, yes.
You have that, don't you? Don't you?
I'm so annoyed because this went on sale, and I put a reminder for myself to buy
one.
And
you missed it.
And I missed it.
Cyber Monday.
Ugh.
How much?
Cyber Monday. It was like
$15?
No, it was like $40 off. Yeah. So
that's money.
Yeah, I mean.
You missed it.
It was decent. I'm kicking myself. I'm watching it now for when it goes on sale again.
Yeah. So before we ask Tony how he's doing, you were talking about your life and your house. What happened?
I'm going through a renovation.
Oh.
Just going to make a comment that this wouldn't work at my
house. Oh. Because there's a lot of this.
Yeah. Oh, okay. What are you doing? Fancy stuff?
Redoing
the West Wing now?
Yeah, exactly. We're adding a West Wing for guests and diplomats.
I'm selling my house. And I'm buying a new house, so.
That's huge news.
Yes.
Are you really?
Yeah, in Keyport. It's like within an 8-block radius that I'm buying a house.
And you told me this. And did you actually
do you know how it? Do you know how this plays out? You're supposed to be like, yeah. Really?
I know.
Like, really? I was excited for you, and everybody put their phones on mute because I didn't.
Okay. Really?
Yes.
So, tell me a little bit more about this house that you're buying.
Oh, forget it. Tony, how are you?
I'm really well. I'm not buying or selling a house.
Oh. Well, you've done two sells or one. No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I've moved a couple times.
Okay.
We've been there almost just 11 years.
Lean in a little, sir, if you could.
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay. He checked his audio before.
I did check my audio. You're farther away than I am.
I know, but my voice was booming at the moment. I see that when I see Fallon. Anyway. So, did you listen to the... I'm not going to edit that out. Did you listen to the last podcast, Mariano?
I did.
Oh, really?
Enjoyed it.
Tony, I don't ask because he would edit them, so I know he'd listen to it 1,000 times each time. So I'm giving him a pass.
Now, I have a question for you, Tony.
Yes.
As an audio guy,
yep.
This came up for my kids because they all said, I don't like how I sound on
Nobody does.
Recorded. And that is...
Well, Tony does.
Except for me.
Except for... No, do you... I was going to say, as an audio guy, do you like how you sound when you hear
it? It depends, actually. That's an interesting question.
You're probably overly critical sometimes.
I am impressed with yourself. I am overly... Sometimes, yes, but a little bit of both. Sometimes I'm overly critical. It depends. So, like, what we do here is really conversation.
Right.
It's not, like, voiceover, quote-unquote.
Right.
But then when you do voiceover, it's your voice acting. So you're projecting differently. You're working a microphone differently and what have you. So I don't mind hearing myself on the mic, but that's because I'm used to it. I think most people...
You'd be in the wrong industry if you did.
Not used. Yeah. Most people are not used to it, mm-hmm. and they're hypercritical of themselves. And there's actually science behind it. It's because you don't hear yourself the way everyone else hears yourself.
Right, right.
Because you're hearing yourself.
Every time I watch Ray Romano, I hear myself. So I know. I make weird noises. And I'm actually pretty comfortable with it.
As long as you're comfortable with it.
Yeah. Cool. Mariano, is this coming from a deeper place for you? Is it really not your kids?
Kids?
Is this like asking for a friend?
No. It just came up in conversation with my kids the other day. And I told them how I've always hated how I sound.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
When I'm recorded.
Why? See, it's like... When I used to tell Karen, like, you know, they're self-conscious about their looks and stuff, and I'm like, and she would say this, and I'd be like, nobody notices it. So you notice your voice, but I don't think.
Right.
I mean, Tony stands out because he's got, I got a little bit of it, but I don't think anything of it. Now, which child was it?
What was he or she doing? I think Tatiana brought it up.
Yeah.
And then Jay agreed with her, and they started back and forth.
It wasn't like the Musical.ly app or anything like that, correct?
No.
Just in general, she heard her voice?
No, because Tatiana and Jay have been recording videos.
Okay.
They're hearing themselves in the videos, and they're like, I don't feel like I sound like that.
Yeah,
it's really interesting because it doesn't even occur to me anymore that how much I hate listening myself until I listen to one of our podcasts. So to bring it full circle.
You do not listen to the podcast. That's
I listen to the podcast, but I hate hearing myself talk.
Okay, well.
Well, we can do that
if you want.
Next episode.
I was going to say
We are now taking.
Awkward silences.
Yes. I mean, I don't know if I want to edit that. Well, Tony can, yes. It's a lot of work. Are they making, like, videos to, like, are they doing, like, a YouTube video type thing?
Yeah, I mean, Jay less so. He likes to do, he's really into Halloween, so he does a lot of videos of, he's really into the creative aspect of things now, so he's taking short clips and editing them together in like a film type of, you know, mini film.
That's cool.
Or like a trailer type of thing. Tatiana does a little bit, Tatiana does a lot of rainbow loom, so she sees these people doing, demonstrating how to create different things. And so she's doing those kinds of videos, like, here's how I did this technique and so on and so forth. So,
are they getting reviews?
I am not posting
them. And we're talking about reviews today. Wow, I how said crazy that. Beautiful. That?
But yes, and, they're getting reviews from the family.
They are getting
reviews. Yeah.
That's a lot of therapy, possibly.
down the road.
So of the reviews, I would say Tony knows where his experience the most, because he has like a 400,000 reviews.
On the SCE side?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, on the Tony side, whichever. Still you. I do have a lot, but Mariano?
I don't have a lot personally, but we...
Personally, but the company, do you do, like, are you doing reviews for Google or anything like that?
Not for ourselves, but we do a lot for our clients. And we do a lot of... recommendations in terms of how to do reviews. You know, our clients... We happen to have a pretty significant portion of our clients in the medical industry, so they have to handle it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. They have to watch out for HIPAA compliance and making sure that, you know, that even as simple as responding to review. Like somebody says, I had a terrible experience at your office, blah, blah, blah. They can't respond and say, well, it's because you did this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. They have to speak in more general terms. They can't imply they can't explicitly state that they were a patient. So, you know, it's a little bit more involved.
And where is it they can put these reviews?
Like if somebody posts a review for a medical client on Google.
Well, right, but the medical doctor, world has so many medical websites, because whenever I've looked up a doctor, there's 100 of them.
Right. Yeah.
So what is, like, do you know which two or three are considered the ones that you really should have the reviews on?
Well, I think Google is...
No, but within the medical world, do you know any?
No, even in the medical world. Okay. Because if you're looking from the perspective of the consumer is going to... You know, the consumer might go to ZocDoc, they might go to some of these medical-specific websites if they're doing a deeper dive. Mm-hmm. But for, you know, that initial search, they're looking at what somebody has to say about the particular practitioner on Google or Yelp or any of those services.
Gotcha. Tony, you want to take the next 40 minutes?
No, I definitely don't. So, I mean, reviews are – I think they're critical – well, outside, I'm not familiar with...
How do reviews play out for you?
Right, so I'm not familiar with the medical world and all that stuff, because I would imagine, I never even thought about how fragile or you know, careful you have to be.
One doctor leaves one stethoscope inside somebody's organ, and it's over.
Right.
But how you respond and what gets said and what can be, I have no idea. So my world, whether it's the private event world or the audio branding world, the studio stuff... extremely important. Obviously, reviews for me are much more prevalent on the SCE side.
Right? Tell them, how many reviews?
So the company as a group, we're a small group, but we're just about to hit 1,700 reviews on Wedding Wire, which is a very big wedding review site. I'm very proud of that. The Knot, yes. Yeah. Yes, technically. The Knot, I don't know what we're up to. It's a little bit smaller scale, but we always ask... that everyone review us on Wedding Wire. It's a very prominent platform, especially for the younger couples, you know, because it's very tech savvy and what have you. The Knot is just extremely established. So, you know, you get different personalities, I guess. So 1,700 reviews on Wedding Wire, and that's the one we keep track of extensively. And then what I've tried to do over the past, just recently, really, over the last year, I've been trying to get Facebook reviews on, for example, the Drophouse page, which I don't know how well or it's going to work out or how relevant it is really, but I figured, you know, it's another platform. I did sit with a colleague probably about a year ago, and he was like, you know, you should really work on Facebook reviews, and you should work on, you know, kind of, you know, polishing up the business profile, because I do have a business profile both for the the DJ side and, mm-hmm. and both and for the studio side. So I'm really concentrating more on the studio side at this point because that obviously needs the most personal help from me. You know, we have SCE as a group, obviously working the review side otherwise, but we started pushing, I would say probably about a year and a half ago, we started pushing Google reviews, which have really taken off. I don't know if it's because we propagate the link quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Once
they all have Gmail too, which makes it easy.
Yeah, exactly. So it's you know, they stay inside that ecosphere, I guess mm-hmm. you could say. So it's very easy.
They don't have to log in and create.
Right, exactly. And I think, I mean, Google being what it is, I think I would imagine those reviews are exceptionally important.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually working on creating a business profile mm-hmm. for my Drophouse site as well on Google, which I just got the verification. You actually have to verify, even if you don't have a physical location, so to speak.
Who you are. Yeah.
We do that as part of our SEO efforts. I'm going to actually throw out a couple statistics so that I recently...
Are you prepared?
I am prepared for this. Yeah. I happened to write an article, and reviews was...
Who is this? An article? Lord, I'll sit back.
For reviews was a component of it. So one statistic that I found that I think is relevant is that 34% of website users felt they needed to read 4 to 6 online reviews to trust a business.
Uh-huh.
So, and there's obviously, that was the highest group, but there's, you know, as some feel they need less, some people feel they need more, but that was kind of the largest group, need 4 to 6 online reviews. Mm-hmm. So having a significant number of online reviews is important. The other thing that I thought is relevant to this discussion is that 77% of online customers think online reviews older than 3 months aren't relevant.
Huh.
So if you get 1,700 reviews, but they're all from 2 years ago.
Yeah, irrelevant.
People don't feel like they're relevant anymore.
I can understand.
So,
that, sure.
And the other thing that I advise to people, you know, we're talking about reviews in general. If you get a bad review, it is critical that you respond to
address it,
and address it. So I just wanted to throw those statistics out there to kind of put some conversation in context. Yeah, of why it's important. You know, we can say it's important anecdotally, but these are statistics that I just recently reviewed.
That's interesting. That's important in your research or in your reading. Does the platform that the review appear on, that the review appears on, does that matter?
For this specific article, I didn't get into that. I can say from the work that we do, the more critical ones are Google, Yelp, Bing to some extent, but it's almost in line with the search engines. You know, Google,
right,
Google. Now if you're doing searches and you have enough Google reviews, they show up on your search results in terms of a star rating.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if I were to look up Drophouse Media and you don't have enough reviews, that review, that kind of little...
Feel free to look up Screaming Lunatic reviews on your at your convenience.
I will. How about we look?
Have you worked on that?
28 five-star reviews? Oh,
there
yes.
There you go.
Yes, I have. I actually push all my reviews only to Google.
Yeah.
At this point for the past year and a half or so. And I believe I sent you an email for it, and I think you did leave the review on Google.
Yes. Very nice.
I'm sure I did.
No, but if you did,
if you asked me, I'm sure you did.
Yes.
Well, and I think the other, they kind of tie in with setting up your online business profile and making sure that data is up to date.
Right.
Because a lot of these services that help you to collect these reviews, first of all, they care about authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want you just going to a bunch of your friends and giving reviews.
Right.
They want somebody who's actually used the service, and they care about, again, not kind of grouping all these reviews together, you know, doing a 3-month sprint where you're doing, you know, 500 reviews.
And then you fall off.
And then you fall off.
Which means you're not working or you're not,
right.
You know, people aren't caring enough to
exactly.
say something.
Exactly. So, you know, I would say Google is critical because that is the search engine. Another statistic that I found out, 91% of online searchers are done through Google.
I would imagine so.
Even that's and Bing is pretty prevalent in terms of a second competitor because, you know, that's the de facto, that's the one that Yahoo uses, that's the one, that's the search engine that some of the voice search services use, like Alexa uses Bing. But Google is still king by far and away.
Sure, sure.
So you need to make sure that your online profile is set up and that you're sending people there to at least start with your review process.
Sure. It's interesting to find a client who's searching for something on Yahoo and then you're like saying to yourself, well, wait a minute.
I know, really I was thinking that.
Client?
I was thinking that.
Educate.
There's a lot of room to upgrade there.
Yes, exactly.
Wedding Wire, actually, their SEO, for all the faults I have with Wedding Wire, their SEO is amazing.
It is?
Yeah. If you, they are getting pushed down because of what Google's doing, but Wedding Wire is like Google and the Knot is like Bing. It's
yep.
day and night.
Mm-hmm.
So having the reviews on Wedding Wire. The Facebook reviews, I would, me personally, I actually think it does more harm.
Why would it do more harm?
Not more harm if you have your user base is in Facebook and they see the reviews, but what happens is you start to add a couple more reviews and all of a sudden you start to get some fake reviews easily within Facebook, magically out of nowhere.
Hmm.
So I've gotten, if you look at my Facebook page, I have like 10 fake reviews that says the worst ever, and it's like from, Halil, wherever. So I always comment back in a joking way to the point where I tried getting rid of the reviews to show. I would tell clients to post something and tag you in it or put an actual post on your page.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got to get a review, like it would be, for Drophouse especially, it would be Google and then everything else.
Right.
Like I wouldn't even
right.
worry about it because what happens is you ask them to do several reviews. So on my Sophia plus Abby for the invitation page, website for invitations, what I did was I created a page that says review us and I send them that link. And on that link, I have a video of me explaining to them the importance of reviews with the links to all the review pages.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them you can copy and paste, but at least from there, I don't have to send them individual emails or an email with 5 different links.
Mm.
And I get a little explanation behind it. So there's a video. There is some current reviews. And then there's links to the Knot, to Wedding Wire, to Google. But within the video, and I think within the text as well, I could look at it, but I don't remember right now. I say if you're going to do one, please consider doing Google
mm-hmm.
reviews versus everything else. And my experience with Wedding Wire and the Knot is, I guess because I do invitations, they don't have a video to base it on.
Mm-hmm.
They all end up looking at some point usually at the reviews, and they feel more supported in their decision to choose me. So what I do is I take screenshots of the reviews and put it on that page because mm-hmm. I just don't want them wandering into the world of Wedding Wire or the Knot or anything like right. that. For you, it's different because you guys get found sometimes.
Yep.
Within Wedding Wire and the yep. Knot. For me,
or we get vetted that way.
Yeah, you do, but you probably have a decent amount that comes through Wedding yeah. Wire, whereas I have very little, so I don't pay for the service.
Mm-hmm.
I do the free service because the reviews are free, and leaving them, having them stay on my website is my preference, so that's why I have one page that's all reviews and then one page that is a review us video, and I update it every once in a while. But
is it I was going to ask if it's a dynamic page, if you're pulling from the review services or
no, it's honestly just a link that I will send them. You can't get to it through the website. You can find it publicly, of course, mm-hmm. but no, I don't. I have the testimonials with the screenshots of all the reviews that I have, but the review us, I send it to them after the job is done, and then it's easy for them to click on all the
things. So it's a landing page, right?
Yeah, but the Google one, yep. I copied the code, which is a pain in the neck to get.
Yes, it is.
When you click yep. on it, then the review actually pops
it
up.
It pops it. The review window. So if you've
left one, obviously yep. it shows your current one.
Yeah.
And that has been, now while I have a fraction of the amount of clients that Tony does for the wedding world, I mean, every single one is done, probably all three review.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, that's really the way to do it. You know, there's, we've been setting up reviews pages for clients for probably 4 years now, 5 years, somewhere around there, ever since it became a thing.
On Google or, you mean like a...
No, on their individual websites. If we set up their websites and we have control of them, then we actually will, and they engage us for marketing services, then one of the things we do is set up a website or set up a page on their website where somebody, they can direct people to leave reviews or direct people to links to where they can
mm-hmm.
leave
okay.
reviews. Mm-hmm. And the ones that we focus on are typically, like I said, Google Yahoo and Yelp.
Yelp, huh?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Because well, you know,
people still pay attention.
Yeah, but their review, and Mariano probably knows this, the way they provide and showcase the reviews is a mystery, like, you know, the Bermuda Triangle. Because the way they showcase it, they seriously won't explain the reason why, but you could have, and I don't know if it's bad reviews, but you can select a certain amount of reviews that you want to show or your higher ones, and it just, they completely ignore you.
Yeah.
The problem I have with it is that their service for just basic is like $400 a month, and you have to do a 12-month contract. So they almost are the opposite of WeddingWire, where WeddingWire lets you really work the reviews and respond. And if someone, sometimes you get another company that may give a fake review.
Yeah.
They're very responsive
to it. That's happened to us.
Yelp is like,
you know, it's funny because Yelp is there. There's a lot of frustration in the industry with Yelp because they're such a black box in terms of how they display reviews and what reviews are authentic. And
they're like the swamp.
You know, they're it's kind of like the swamp. And they, you know, they don't, their kind of MO is we want our views to be authentic, but they don't explain. They're not very good at explaining how they determine.
Actually try to fight you on explaining the reason, because they'll tell you. I've dealt with a couple of them, and you far more, obviously, but where they say, we don't even know. No, the representative don't know. Now, I don't know what representative from Yelp has called me this week to tell me that they're my new representative, and I haven't had an account with them in 5 years. But they'll tell you, and they do it as, I almost think they do it on purpose, but you can get some reviews that, you can go through it all and say, I want to promote these or I want to showcase these, blah, blah, and they don't care. And the algorithm is not told. They don't know it. And you have to pay several $100 a month, but it's a necessary evil that they hate Google, and they think that Google is monopolizing. So there's actually a 60 Minute special about it. A Google representative did not show up for the 60 Minute interview. Smartly.
Yeah, they're fine.
And as far as, well, do you get reviews, not reviews, but comments on YouTube for the videos?
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
And the YouTube community is such a special community.
It is. It really is. We love you.
Yes. Right? Because you're going to take that video, maybe from YouTube, and put it onto your Facebook page. So your couples are going to go onto your Facebook page and comment and share, right?
Yes.
The ones that view it on YouTube.
To some extent, yeah.
Or comment on YouTube, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. We have a large following on our Facebook page. I don't know what that means anymore in terms of having a Facebook business page and the visibility that it lends to you, because you can have 20,000 people in your audience and it doesn't seem to matter unless you're paying for visibility. And then when you're paying for visibility, I don't know how qualified that visibility is.
Well, if SEE wants to contact me about how to figure that out.
So that's one thing. So we do focus on YouTube and making sure that all our videos go up to YouTube. So by that I mean, you know, whether they're testimonials or testimonial vlogs or just video blogs or, you know, in my friend Nick's case, he posts his DJ tips, wedding DJ tips. That's also on our YouTube page, which he has quite the DJ following, obviously, with that video series. And those comments are you know, those guys get very vocal, obviously, because we're all
kind of inside. Well, he's pandering to his peers.
He is, absolutely.
I'm wondering, like, do you ever get, like, because how does YouTube work with the comments? I don't get that many comments on my videos, but I don't promote them that way.
Right.
Do you notice any, like, you know, YouTube troll style?
I don't think it's – I try to stay on top of it because I get notified. I'm one of the managers, whatever. But I don't think it's gotten out of hand ever. But if anything, it actually seems fairly supportive. So maybe he's got a pretty positive following. Doesn't seem like he's attracting trolls, for lack of a better term. More importantly, like on the – wedding video side, we don't get a ton of comments, but we get a lot of views.
Yeah.
So, and from what I understand now,
those are the trolls.
Yeah, more often than not, yeah. Yes. But we do focus on, you know, just putting our content out there. And we have so much content over the years on YouTube that it does. And YouTube being what it is, I mean, it's a huge search engine.
Mm-hmm. It's Google.
It is. It's the Google, mm-hmm. especially a video.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely important to us and to our business, and it's just visibility, really. We have a lot of old content on there, too, but we try to keep it as relevant to today as possible. And we've organized it over the last year, 2 years, into playlists that make sense, so that if someone's searching for a specific host, whether it's myself or one of the other guys, they can actually, you know, how they autoplay, so you can literally have it play the entire playlist.
But you know what annoys me? It does it in reverse.
Yeah, it's weird.
They won't change it.
Yeah.
What do you mean reverse?
It does, like sometimes it if first? I'm watching if I want to watch a bunch of Gary Vee videos, right?
Right.
It goes from like latest
to oldest.
It goes from newest to oldest.
Right.
Oh.
Or it goes from old, whatever it is.
It doesn't give you context. It's probably from newest to oldest, right?
It doesn't give me, right, because I want to see how it got. Like, I don't want to see something he'll say that's from four, whatever it may be, right? And it doesn't give you the option to do the opposite of whatever I'm thinking is optimal, which I don't know right now, apparently, for some reason. But, it doesn't give you that option. That's just a little
I think it might stick to the order of the playlist based on how the...
They were uploaded.
Maybe. They were either uploaded or the way the content creator actually decided. Because I have, for example, when I upload videos to my playlist on the SCE YouTube page, I will put the newest ones up top, obviously, so it stays relevant. So more than likely, that's
the case. It's an interesting dynamic over there. Yes, I know. How do you handle bad reviews? Let's just if you got a bad review, how would you handle it?
So to that point,
and you get some funky stuff going on sometimes.
So are you talking about just reviews in general, not the YouTube comments and stuff?
Because
that is stupid.
Obviously. Fortunately, on the YouTube comments, have you seen one that's like troll-ish?
I don't think so. I think Jason might have seen one.
So
or
on
two,
Wedding Wire,
but
right?
You're able to delete those if I'm not mistaken on YouTube.
Yeah, you probably can very easily.
So on Wedding Wire, I was going to speak to that point. We've actually received some fake reviews.
Yes,
we have received bad, terrible fake reviews. We've also received reviews from people who, not people. I think this happened once from somebody who didn't even work with us, but merely entertained working with us as a client.
Oh, okay.
And left a review based on, you know, they just weren't happy with, I don't know.
Felicia?
Exactly. Right, something strange. So Wedding Wire being who they are and how good they are, they allowed us to strike those because they were not relevant. If we get a less than stellar review, which I think very, very, I can say with confidence, rarely
happens.
Let me
just interrupt. You know, seeing some of the reviews, just from being in the industry.
Yeah.
This was the greatest wedding, blah, 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 blah. And they give you a 4.2.
Yes.
And you're like...
Those are painful.
Because...
And that's what
then you get the other one
to.
That said, well, not say SEE, but this in general. Well, they messed up the one cake song that I wanted, but I gave them a 5.0. And you're like, that one I could have seen.
They still loved us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people who do those 4.2s, it's almost like... Those are the types of people I don't want to be friends with because they can just never say something nice enough to you.
So,
they can't just be happy for you. So she has to tell
you. That's right.
How much of a great wedding DJ you are, but I ain't fucking giving you that 5.0.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
Yes.
So what that
boils
down to.
These are none of your couples, by
the way. None of my couples.
No.
Fortunately. What I was going to say to that point is that I think it's based on the psychology of the personality, I should say, mm-hmm. of the person. So you kind of nailed it down, right? It's like, everything was great, and I had such a great time, and it was absolutely amazing.
But?
Either there's a but, or there isn't, but 4.9, or 4.8.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh, really? Why?
Or could it be like, that why? They just don't real, that like, you would think that if you see all the other reviews that everybody puts a 5.0, you won't stand out. Don't worry. You actually...
Maybe they want to stand out.
Right. Maybe they want to stand out, or maybe they think, and then afterward, like...
Yeah.
So I'm always interested in that. Please.
I think you almost have to look at those as opportunities, because you're looking at it from the perspective of, oh, that hurts. But somebody who's looking really at the reviews and saying, you know, oh, this person gave them a 4.8, 4.5, whatever it is.
Yep.
Why did they do that? They'll read in the review and it's then they'll kind of get the sense, well, yeah, they didn't, maybe they don't like to give 5.0s unless it's absolutely perfect.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
reading this review, clearly they had a good experience.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's almost, they, it may be
it's,
upsetting.
It's a positive.
But it's, I think from a consumer perspective, it's probably a more positive experience for you.
Because I think.
Wow, that's a good stretch.
No, it's absolutely.
I'd rather have 5.0 and not even, I call it a day.
True. But.
But would you rather have, well,
here's,
but it lends credibility.
Actually, here's a good.
This DJ sucked. 5.0, baby.
No, but wait a minute. I have another question for you. Would you rather get a 5.0 and no feedback?
Yes.
Or would you rather get a 4.5 and a ton of feedback?
5.0, no feedback.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe
because it's a numbers game.
Ground somewhere.
It's a numbers game.
That's fine. Here's the other part.
Well, here's how I'll argue against my own thought.
Okay.
The good part about when
I disagree with you, but.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Don't ask me for a rating. Or actually, I won't ask you for a rating. You should want one from me. So yes, of course you'd like some feedback because of the ego that wants to hear warm and fuzzies about yourself.
Right.
But when a client is looking at stuff, no, I just want 5.0s. I don't care. I mean, ideally I want feedback, but I'd rather have the rating. What WeddingWire does to argue my own argument is they understand that if you have 100 reviews and you have 90 that are 5.0, but you have 10 that are 4.4, 4.6, your overall score is still a 5.0. Even though the average would be 4.82, they still give you out of 5 rating.
So they weighted a little
bit. Yeah, I mean, they understand that, you know, 4.8, some that logic. So, yes, I would rather have a 5.0. I would rather win the game and not care how I won it. But if you want to give me good lovey-dovey, Lorenzo's great, blah, 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 4.2, I'm okay. I don't need your huggies. Just give me the 5.
Yeah, but you know, I'm thinking about from the perspective of an Amazon review. Like, I'm looking at a product in Amazon, and I see...
state of mind. So that I'll listen to you on that. On the wedding world, I just want...
All right, so maybe it's different in the wedding world. Maybe it's different the way the non.
So let's hear Amazon, yes.
But I'm thinking from an Amazon perspective. Okay. I'm a consumer. I'm going in. I look at a 5.0 review for a product. That has almost no value for me as a consumer because it doesn't tell me why they did the 5.0. It doesn't tell me what they liked about the product. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, like, it may not answer the questions that I have.
Well, it also depends on the product, right? Product.
Yes.
Yes. True. I'm just saying that to me, something with feedback in addition to the star rating is more valuable.
So let's think of something that would be valuable at a 4.5 with feedback. So in other words, if I'm going to buy a screwdriver, obviously I don't care, right? It doesn't matter. What are you going to explain to me about a screwdriver? If I'm, I don't know, I'm trying to think of something where seeing the value in something. So no, I can't. Like, no, and don't get me wrong, I like seeing the feedback and I like reading stuff, but when I buy something in Amazon, I scroll down, I look at the pictures immediately because that's what I want to see. Mm-hmm. So that is more important to me, seeing the picture of the actual product, whether it's good or bad, than reading the reviews. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm buying, I don't know, boxes show up in my house. Well, not my boxes. Someone else orders boxes.
My wife is sending boxes to your house.
It's not possible because UPS is stationed in front of my house. I like to look at the pictures of the stuff because I like to see how it actually looks. Because no matter what,
well, that's the first thing.
But obviously. Maybe that's my text, like the visual.
No, but that's based on what you do and who you are. That's just quite possible. But
yes.
But that's just to confirm that you're looking at the right item, right? I have purchased, so you're on this Amazon thing. I've purchased stuff that's not five star reviews. I do glance at the overall.
I do review. Four and up. That's the selection that I do.
Very often for something that's not name brand, you know, an off brand or, you know, something that's like, you're just like, oh, I found this and it's $30.
Sham wow.
As opposed to paying $60 for the name. You know, all right, let
me read
the
reviews. Price indicates it to you.
Let me read the reviews, right?
Right.
Read the reviews. I don't expect them to be stellar, but I want to weight them. So, to Mariano's point, I will say feedback is exceptionally important in that respect. But I will also take that perspective when it comes to my world, I understand the need for 5.0, and we're so blessed to have probably 99%.
Well, tell me you'd rather have a 4.2 with Carmichael.
I would not rather, okay. but I do relish the feedback. Not because I want my ego stroked, but I think it's important, whether positive or off. Like,
you want other people
to I personally, it. I'm just going to say, right, I personally have never gotten a bad review. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I haven't gotten critiqued.
Yeah.
That also doesn't mean that other pieces of my entertainment puzzle haven't fallen short. So whether that's another service that was provided by a CE, not me in particular, mm-hmm. but it's all reflected in that one review.
And I think
the feedback becomes exceptionally important. It also becomes exceptionally important, even if everything is stellar, especially to the client, because I think, and I encourage any prospective client that I'm sitting with to read the reviews, not because they're all 5.0 and I want you to think how awesome I am.
That's important, right?
I think it's important that you see what people say about us and me after the experience, because you start to get a picture of why they're 5.0.
Well, you're in an emotional product that you're providing.
Yes, 100%.
And you're instilling confidence as well.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's exceptionally
important. Well, there's also a difference here, because we're talking about
people want to go bitch when it's on Amazon.
We're talking about service versus a product.
Right, but people also love, like, if you have 10 clients and one has a bad product experience,
mm-hmm.
right.
they run to Amazon to vent their frustration
sure.
because they're hoping to whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas the other 9 don't need to go and say, this is exactly what I wanted, because it's exactly what
right.
I wanted.
Right, right.
Whereas with Tony, I think, and even with me with the invitations,
mm-hmm.
they have such a personal experience with us that I wonder if sometimes they just don't give anything less than a 5.0 because of the 98% of the stuff
right.
mm-hmm.
that they've experienced. They feel a personal bond. They're also might. It's like almost like ratting out a friend a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the fact that you really effed up,
right?
In general, right. So subtle right. thing. So that's why I always look at those like Paul flips out when he sees like a 4.8. It's like the greatest thing. Sorry, Paul's clients.
Yeah.
But you wonder what makes someone do that. Like,
it's personality.
It's personality. But on the other hand, it's like maybe
unless they really felt.
Maybe they really...
They felt like something fell short.
That's true. But we're always... When you own a business and when you're in this industry, you get a lot of applause. For someone who...
Literal and...
Isn't.
Negative.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a lot of shit too, but...
Yes.
When someone asks you for your review, the three of us were probably like, oh, that's fine. Yeah, I'll do it. But to some people, no one ever asked their opinion. So it's important to them. Like, if right. I asked... my brother, who's a mechanic, who works 9 to 5, to do something like this. Well, actually, his personality would not dictate it, but in general, someone like that, they'd be like, yeah, absolutely. You know, whereas the three of us, if I email Mariano, send me a review over there, I expect a 5.0, a nice sentence and a half, and away we go.
Yeah.
So we also probably lose a little bit of the feeling of importance because, you know, to them, they don't get asked.
Yeah.
You're, in many ways, the center of the focus, at least until First Dance, right? You're out there and you talk.
Sure.
So you're accustomed to it. I'm accustomed to it. Mariano doesn't deal with reviews as much, but you, as a business owner, you have people
who treat you as the focus. We don't deal with reviews as much.
No, but I'm saying you have employees.
We help our clients with it, definitely.
So you have, it's amazing how much people just want to feel important mm-hmm. when you ask them for a review. Mm-hmm. I think that's, in some way, makes them feel important on some level.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think that there's a level of, I think they do feel a certain happiness that they're going to be able to write something about you.
Why don't you start asking your clients for some reviews? Make some happiness. Spread the Christmas cheer.
We get reviews. We get reviews in a different way. Like, because we're not B2C, reviews on Amazon. Well, certainly not Amazon, but reviews on Google don't necessarily impact us that much. The
Why
way we a lot of our clients because a lot of our clients come to us through our work. They see
Maybe they would come through Google too. I would say push that Google review
the
stuff.
The reviews that we get are internal to the clients that we have. So
I understand, so right.
you know, they have like an industry magazine, let's say, that says, hey, you know, people have worked with Avaliant, they're rating their experience with the Valley, 9.5%.
But that's like Tony's wedding wire world, mm-hmm. right? That's very niche.
9.5%, 9.5 out of 10. Yeah.
Do they comment or is it just a number?
A lot of times it's just a number. We've tried to do a better job about getting testimonials from our clients when we go to shows and saying, hey, listen, you know, these are doctors you may know that work with us, or these are insurance agents you may know that work with us. Here's their experience. Here's their story. We do a few case studies as well that show, and obviously, you know, we're gathering the data and displaying the source, but, you know, one of the other things that we try to push as an organization is that we're trustworthy in terms of the data we're trying to present, and we won't be dishonest about that stuff. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think we've got a certain, within the groups that we work with, we have a certain trust that's been established, and, you know, because we're not doing a lot of that B2C, mm-hmm. there aren't a lot of clients out there that are searching for Avelliant.
Right, you know? Right.
Well, I do B2B, and I don't know. I want you to go and I want you to get your reviews on Google. If you don't have any, send it to me. I'll send you your first one. I'll just give you a number.
I think we have a couple. Okay. But, yeah, I mean, well, it's true, but I don't know. I mean, it's just not – all of our leads have typically come in through word of mouth.
Yes.
And those are the more valuable. It works in a way like a review, but when we're setting up new programs, it's typically such a big program that people aren't going to go online and just read a review about Avelliant. You know, they did a great job on my website. They want to go to a group and say, what's your experience been with this? And typically it's been a different experience for me.
Yeah.
So have you seen bribery for reviews? Well, you may. No,
bribery. I didn't. Yeah. I thought well, that was you know, a site.
You got something? Wait. No. Sorry. Oh, well, okay. Go ahead. I thought you were going to pay somebody.
Bribery. No. I wasn't good. I've heard. Like, I don't know about bribery. But incentives to leave a review, perhaps. Is that what you're getting
like,
at?
Yeah, I mean... anything,
but not to leave a positive review necessarily.
Not incentives
just to make sure.
Like a pardon on Twitter, but incentives like
like a gift card, like a $5 gift card to Starbucks or something like that. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, something along those lines.
I just wonder more so in the because I remember hearing and seeing stuff happen, and I don't know if it was so much a discount, but it was more so like yes, you're paying with a Starbucks card or something like that. As for a review, I wonder if that's still maybe I'm just thinking back.
It used to be prevalent.
No, I know it used to be. I'm just wondering now if it still is.
It's if you're caught doing that by one of the review services, they will ding you in your search results. Mm-hmm. They'll ding you for the reviews that you've gotten in the last 3, 6, 9 months, you know, and going back to that statistic I said before, if they ding you for those reviews that are 3 to 4 months old,
you're losing your
juice. Losing a bunch of people that are going to be looking at that review. Yeah. So, and the other thing that was a very common practice in the industry previously was having people go to that page on their website that says, please consider leaving us a review. Did you have a good experience or a bad experience?
Mm.
If people would click bad experience, then they would be given a form that allows them to give the feedback, and that form would go directly
to
the person running the website.
Right.
You know, there's a shift that's happening in the new industry to remove that from websites because Google, Bing, they don't like that. They don't want you to filter out negative reviews just because they're going to be negative. You know, whereas on the flip side, you want to try to get those reviews so you can remediate them. You want to try to get those reviews and remediate them before they become a big deal.
Right.
But that actually transitions into a question that I had for both of you. If either of you ever got a negative review, do you know or do you have a plan on how you would handle it?
Did you type that out, that question?
No.
Oh, I thought you had a list of questions here. You're looking at the screen. I'm like, holy
I know,
shit.
Because we wrote an article.
28 episodes in, and yes!
another article about how to respond to negative reviews, and I'm just curious about what you guys, if you guys have ever considered it, what you would do. Would you go into panic mode, you know?
No panic mode. Well, assuming the review is legitimate. like yeah. those cases that I mentioned before. I personally have not gotten one. We as a company have gotten less than 5.0 at times.
But when I'm talking about a negative review, a less than...
Right.
That does not...
You're talking about consider like, 4.0 still like a 1 review. Or something.
Let's say 1 yeah. or 2.
I think we... I mean, we've talked about it, but I mean, I don't think it's happened. And if it has happened, you know, we deal with it from a company perspective. So I haven't seen that necessarily. Personally speaking, if anything's ever fallen off, I am fortunate enough to have my a client. This happened maybe once or twice, where a client, again, not necessarily me personally, but the event or some part of the event may have fallen short. Not necessarily me. Personally, where they reach out to me directly and say, hey, everything was great. You were awesome. But, you know, and
X, that's y, the problem you X, run y, into Z. Because you have so
because it is
when you're doing a wedding. Sometimes people couple you on their all the services.
Of course they do, because, I mean, everything falls on my shoulders.
No, but they might give you a 5.0. But within that, they might say to you, everything was great, blah, blah, blah. But the venue doesn't have a review set, so they put. They mentioned something that the venue did badly.
Oh, that I haven't run into. Review. That I haven't.
Now, I do know one where, well, won't say the company, they got a 1.2, and mm-hmm. it was the mother of the bride.
Mm-hmm.
And details were basically a couple of things did not happen, but the bride never wanted it to happen. So
So.
But the mother went on to and created her own account and gave a 1.2. Mm. It was then resolved, but the bride basically, you know, the mother wanted certain things. The bride was like not having it.
Right.
So I don't know if the bride just yesed her, or whatever, mm-hmm. or it was the mother-in-law. But the mother went on there and yeah. she was more. The bride was mortified. Blah blah blah. I think I have like 50 or so total. 60. No, I have like 80 total reviews over a couple years between Screaming Lunatic and Sophia. Mm-hmm. I've never had a bad review, but. I probably know of a couple of clients who were challenging, and I did not request a review.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens. I'm sure you've done weddings where you're like, and you might be wrong, but you might be like, well, I'm not sure if they really feel like I gave them a 5.0. They were just, right. but they might have been totally happy.
Sure, sure.
Where you may sure. just say, yeah, maybe I could skip this review.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it happens. Yeah. It's part of it.
Yeah. But to get back to Mariano's original question, I would say you do have to address it. So if it's on your record, quote unquote, mm-hmm. I think the most important thing would be to address it. I've actually personally taken the initiative on our Google reviews. I encourage the guys to do this too, because I can't do it for everybody. But every review that gets posted for me personally, I respond to.
I've had couples
thank you. Said. And more than a thank you, yeah. obviously, because it's personal. They took the time yep. to do that. So I can take another 2 minutes to hit them up I've and had- say thank you. And I sign it as myself because it comes from SCE, obviously. And... You know, I think that's important because it acknowledges it. Mm-hmm. I think it's exceptionally more important or infinitely more important if it's a bad review or if mm-hmm. there are factors in there that should be addressed. If it's going to be public from one side.
But what do you do? Do you, and I think you're rightful to do it, not that you have to do it, but would you know, people say, oh, you're defending yourself. Well, sometimes, yes, I have to defend myself. Would you defend it and explain it within the review? Or would you give the canned answer, we're sorry, we'll do whatever we can, blah, blah, blah. Because I, as a personal person, yep, as yep, an individual, as a consumer, I would be like, on blast, girl. I'd be like, no, that ain't the case. I would. I just wouldn't take the soft answer and say, well, you know, because I'm not a big corporation.
I understand. That really depends on what the problem, what the factor, the details are.
Yeah.
Because if the details are, if it's a harsh review and you can rebuke the points that are being made, I think it's important because fire gets fought with not you can't fire with fire when you're
fight fire with
when
fire.
You're yeah
Metallica
yes you know what I mean because mm-hmm. you do have to kind of soft step because whatever it is you're still reflecting your brand mm-hmm. and your perspective your personality so unless somebody calls you a fucking asshole on a review in which case I would probably say I don't think that's you know, warranted. But I think it's important to take an appropriate tone for your brand. Your brand might be, listen, lady, you know.
Screaming lunatic.
Go F yourself, right? Right, exactly. That might be your brand. From our perspective, we can't really do that.
Well, right, but you, well, you're
But you do have, you,
If they did it on Dropout,
but even
what if a DJ did it on Dropout?
It depends on
well, that's song. What I'm saying. It's more personal for you.
It is more okay. So if it's more personal for me from a Dropout perspective, which has never happened, thankfully. If anything, people gush over my service. Let's make that painfully obvious. No, but seriously, like if some guy, I just disclaim all the time. So, but if somebody came at me, and again, it's going to be a very different type of client, because if I'm dealing with another DJ for whom I've done audio branding or a nightclub owner or something like that, if it's going to be something where, you know, it's going to be very blatant, I still always, personally, I'm very big on taking the high road as much as possible, in that you still take the position that I'm a professional. However, my tone might be a little bit different than if it were, you know, one of my couples,
yeah,
and I'm coming at it from an SE perspective, because then it's a little more personal for me. I can dictate the tone because I am Dropout.
I think a measured response makes a lot of sense. I think
Except for Lorenzo.
Only because if I was a brand outside of myself, I would always take the high road. But when it's in the, well, I guess it would depend. I don't know. I have hopefully not made it painfully obvious that I have not had a full review.
Well, you should.
A lot of disclaimers today.
You should always, always take 24 hours before you respond to a review.
Yeah.
I mean, if you see the review and your initial, I mean, hey, look, when I see something negative about the company, I take it as a personal offense.
Sure.
And I completely get where you're coming from, but you should always take that 24 hours to sit down and say, what is going to be the repercussions if I respond to this in a negative way?
I am in the process of taking 24 hours right now based on the repercussions of how I want to respond,
right,
to not something that is review related, but
something else.
A business situation that I am staying clear of the person,
right,
and what I want to say.
You need a buffer.
Yeah. So I'm very good at that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I've never had the bad review. By the way, we've done 52 minutes on reviews and nobody thought we could do it. And another thing, on SoundCloud, you motherfuckers, can you leave a review, please? On Jesus Christ.
Anyway. Only if it's really good.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You can just leave a number. I don't need text. You can leave the text. Say nice things about Mariano and Tony, but just give me the
five. We like to read feedback.
Okay. So yes, I am in the process of that now. And, yeah. I'm really glad I'm not discussing it on this podcast.
Good. Let's move on.
It could be a whole other podcast.
It would be a problem.
So, I mean, my suggestion would be to take 24 hours and definitely respond to it. We have to always respond. I mean, always respond.
Isn't that a little soft? And I'm not being, like, critical of your decision, but I'm saying, like, if it's a bad review and you see it, I know what you're saying. Take the 24 hours or whatever the time frame is because you don't want to necessarily say anything inappropriate. But unlike a conversation if Tony and I were talking and I responded back, right, that I can understand. But shouldn't you be able to read it, digest it, and think about what you're going to write, even if you don't send it at that point?
You should absolutely think about – all I'm saying is taking 24 hours to respond.
Whatever the number.
Okay.
How did you respond?
To what?
You said you saw a bad review. Not a bad, but like a critical review or something about the company.
No, I'm just saying if I see something critical about the company, it boils my blood because you do a lot. We try to do.
So how have you handled it? Or you haven't seen it. You're saying if you do see it.
No, as a matter of fact, we did have one experience where somebody left us a review. They said they came into our office in Washington. Nobody responded to them. And, you know, and we responded and said, hey, listen, sorry about your bad experience. We're not a walk-in company.
Right.
You know, if you do have a project that you'd like to discuss with us, give us a call and we're happy to talk to you about it. But, you know,
it's reasonable.
They didn't even use our services.
Yeah,
they left
us
a bad review. What I'm saying is those things are going to happen.
Yep.
And you cannot necessarily respond emotionally to them.
But you know what sucks is
even though you want to. Like every fiber in my being wanted to respond.
Yeah, what are you, an idiot?
But you can't. You can't do that because it's then you're going to show as a business, people are coming to you because they want stability. They can't make a decision. They can't do this service on their own. So they're looking to someone who's an expert and that will have a level head throughout their project. And if you demonstrate on a review that went not your way, how you that you're responding emotionally, they're going to take that and personify it for
the company. Could just go on Twitter and send out rants early in the morning about your experiences with the surroundings of your business.
Or political policy by any chance?
No, I don't know. I'm not a rat, so I don't know.
But yes, Twitter
is a different... You can now leave this podcast episode as your review response.
Yeah.
We get a view, they might leave a comment, but yeah, when it's like that and someone just... there's an acupuncturist that I deal with, and yeah, I don't care. So someone was, I guess, in the similar industry, walking through the building and wanted to come visit this chiropractor as well. A family member happens to be the administrative assistant of this client, mm-hmm. and the person soliciting went to the door and knocked, and this family member got real cranky real quick about them coming in, so this solicitor left a comment on their Google, on the acupuncture's Google page.
Oof. Wow.
I have not told this family member. I also don't maintain it. I just set it up, and they don't really, they have a ton of good reviews, blah, blah, blah. And in truth, if you read the review of the solicitor, he kind of looks like a fool.
Mm.
But what he said happened by the administrative assistant is very possible based on but it could have been after hours or whatever, because in general that family member is great at work, but you might have gotten the dark side, and I could totally see that.
Yeah, but all I'm saying,
so I did not respond
could
to
you be
it.
A little more vague next time,
even in
cases not my like wife that. By the way, absolutely. Just letting you all know that.
But even in that, it was Abby, right?
Right.
Poor Abby. So, but even those in those cases, I'm just saying, a response is better. A response is almost better than nothing. And in those, in that case, you could be a little passive aggressive.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
feel free to come in for an acupuncture session. We do great work.
You know, sounds like you could use some acupuncture. Stress up,
like the puncture.
But I'm just saying a response is better than nothing.
Yeah.
Especially if you're
at least
trying
acknowledge
to at least you don't want to give them. And by not responding in an angry way, you're not giving them a platform.
Right.
You're giving them just, here's, look, I'm going to treat you the same way I do all of my customers. Here's my response. Period. Thank you for reading it. And their chances are they're never going to read it.
Yeah.
But the people that are looking at your company, they will.
So that's more important.
Then that's more important.
You know what's funny?
Yeah.
This is the most he's probably talked on an episode in probably about 15 episodes, and he had nothing going into this episode about reviews or knowing anything.
Oh, you're talking my language, though. These are marketing things that we talk to customers about all the time.
Could you please get on Google and ask for some reviews? This is like you talking about social media, and I yell at you because you're not on Instagram.
Oh, man.
No, but you know what? I mean, even social
media. You're one of those guys that just has a lot of opinions about things.
I do have a lot of opinions about things.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, look who's talking.
Oh, man.
Yes, but I back it up with action.
That's why we have a podcast.
I tried tagging him in Instagram the other day when I put the podcast, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Mariano isn't on Instagram. I was going to tag your wife, but I don't think she'd be.
Is that the pop-up that came up? Mariano's not on Instagram.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Even Instagram is telling you Mariano's
goals. So, Mariano, we have two goals for you. One is to go on Instagram, create an account.
It's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. He doesn't want to.
He's tweeting again. He is tweeting again.
Oh, because you prodded him.
Yeah, so that's why.
Before he started this. Okay. So, but interestingly, do you know, I listened, speaking of Instagram, and off a little off topic, an excellent podcast. An excellent podcast that I've been listening to is How I Built This. And one of their...
You know what I've seen? I've seen it because you shared it.
Guy,
you know
Ross.
What I haven't seen?
What?
You sharing our fucking podcast. You just like the tweets that I send out, but you don't share
I didn't share the
no,
most
you
recent
don't, you don't
I'm sorry.
It. You don't.
That was my bad then.
Okay, please. No, but I have seen it because
anyway,
you shared their podcast.
I recently listened to an episode they did about the founders of Instagram, which was a really interesting story. And on multiple occasions, apparently, they almost failed because they just couldn't handle the
volume
of people that were coming into their service. So
$6 billion later.
Yeah, and now, you know. Actually, they were sold for $1 billion to Facebook, and now they're worth an estimated 40.
So, do they still run it? Are
they
still not
run
it, but like they under the branch of?
Yeah, they were the first. They called themselves during the podcast the Big Brother of Facebook acquisitions because they were the first to have been. I don't think they meant Big Brother in the 1984. I think more like they were the first to be acquired by Facebook, and they learned a lot during that acquisition. And yeah. since, you know, when Facebook acquired WhatsApp and all the other stuff that they've acquired, they've kind of used the Instagram model to inform mm-hmm. how they acquire other companies. So that was just a little aside since you mentioned Instagram. And I did listen to it, and I thought it was neat.
Interesting. It's good.
We did an hour on reviews. Who would have thought?
We did. I hope it was
useful. I had a lot to say about reviews.
I didn't know I had so much to say either.
I thought you were going to take the majority of it.
Oh, that's fine.
No, because you deal with reviews so much. All right. Episode 28.
28.
In the can?
In the can.
See ya. What?
Is it 29?
28. 28. No, I only screwed it up at the beginning.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.